Hallelujah. Is God keeping anybody today? I know that He's keeping me. Yes, God. God, we bless your name in this place. We thank you for keeping us, for holding us, for sustaining us down through the years. Now, Father God, as we expound upon your word, open up our ears that we may hear, open up our hearts that we may receive, open up our spirit so that your will, not our will be done in our lives. Now, Father God, when I open up my mouth, you speak through me, Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Father God, you've been good to us. Forgive us of our sins and transgression. You said if we confess our sins, you will be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So do it now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we say amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord another praise in this place. Yeah. Tell somebody, God is keeping me. Hallelujah. Well, we praise God for all of you this morning. Amen. And this morning, we're going to be coming from a part of scripture that's probably familiar to some of us. Amen. But I just want to read just one verse. You've heard the scripture reading by Sister Tawana and Brother Mike today. Amen. You heard the whole part of the scripture reading. I'm just going to pull from that text just one verse. Amen. And I'm going to pull out Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Amen. And listen to what it's saying. This is from the Christian Standard Bible. Amen. Paul is writing to the church in Rome. And he says this, for I consider that the sufferings with an S. How many of y'all know that means more than one time? Have anybody in here suffered more than once? Amen. Amen. Suffering don't come just one time. Some of us done had multiple sufferings. Amen. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, even COVID-19. Of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed in us. Can I read it one more time? I'm trying to help somebody. I'm trying to encourage you even right now. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed in us. Amen. This morning, I just want to drop in your spirit this text from hard times to happy times. Tell somebody, from hard times to happy times. Tell somebody, I'm getting ready to go somewhere. Amen, amen. From hard times to happy times. I want to get that in you. You don't even hear nothing else I say today. I want you to hear this. From hard times, amen. Look at the graphic. The hard times got the mask on and everything. We're suffering through all this stuff. From hard times to the happy clip. Look at the happy clip. The two P's. The P's of happy. They just happy. Amen. From hard times to happy. Now two tells me I'm going somewhere. Two is a transitional word. That means I'm not going to stay on the left side of the two too long. I got to get to the right side of the two. So from hard times to happy times. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Take your seat. We got to go somewhere. Take your seat. Put your seatbelt on. Amen. We're going to try to go with this. Amen. Amen. Listen. From an article that I read from Psychology Today, it said this, that the year 2020 has impacted our lives with a global pandemic, record-breaking unemployment, police brutality, systemic racism, poor citizen fighting back and forth between Democrats and Republicans, wildfires burning up half our country, hurricanes coming out of nowhere. We are currently living in some hard times. Can I get a witness? Amen. It probably comes as no surprise that happiness among Americans is at an all-time low. Amen. In this Psychology Today article, it says, according to a new poll conducted by the NORC, which is the National Opinion Research Center at the University of Chicago, it said only 14% of Americans say they are happy. 14% say that they're happy. And that's probably among the top 2% who got all the money in the world. Amen. But how many know money don't make you happy? Hallelujah. Only 14%. That number is down from 31% this time last year. And it's the lowest percent recorded since the NORC started collecting their data 50 years ago. We're at an all-time low when it comes to being happy. But look at somebody and tell them, I'm going to change that. We have to understand, these days, happiness is hard to come by. It's about as hard as finding cleaning supplies. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? The thing that brought us joy so easily before, you know, traveling, grabbing lunch with our friends, hugging our loved ones, especially in church, amen, showing a little love, are suddenly out of reach. But that doesn't mean we can't find new and creative ways to cultivate happiness. Believe it or not, research shows that rough times can actually leave us feeling happier and healthier. We've all heard the term post-traumatic stress. Amen. But less of us are familiar with its sunny cousin, post-traumatic growth. Whereas resiliency refers to our ability to endure hard times, but post-traumatic growth refers to our ability to actually change and improve as a result of those difficult experiences. How many want to be on that side? Amen. I want to be able to change and improve on the other side of this pandemic. Can I get a witness? This doesn't mean pretending that everything is okay and denying your feelings in the middle of a crisis. If you hurt, go ahead and cry. If there's pain, go ahead and feel it. If you're upset, go ahead and express it. But people who experience post-traumatic growth acknowledges their fear, acknowledges their despair, acknowledges their anger, but they also seek out momentary feelings, sparks of joy, whenever they can find it. In other words, folks like this, they have an inside job. They have an inside joy. And this is how they speak. They say, I might be broke, but I still got food on the table. Come on, somebody. I've been through a lot of stuff, but I still got joy. Amen. That's how you got to talk if you're going to be post-traumatic growth. You got to learn how to find the good in the midst of the bad. Some of us have learned how to look on the bright side instead of pouting and being down and out on the negative side. How many know? Look, research on post-traumatic growth has identified 5 sources of happiness and growth commonly experienced among survivors of tragedy. What are they? Number one, a great appreciation for life. Anybody ever been through a near-death experience?
Amen.
And then you appreciate you living. You should have been dead. Hello. But God told death no, and you're still here. And now you hold every day precious in the sight of God. You don't take nothing for granted no more, because you know death was knocking right at your door, but yet God stopped it. Doctor told some of us they can't do nothing more for you. An enhanced feeling of personal strength. What I went through just made me stronger.
Yes.
Amen. The devil can't trick me up like that no more, because I see it coming. Huh? And then there's that spiritual growth, because through the heartache and the pain, you dug deep with God. You got real with God. You told God you ain't going to do it no more. You told God, I'm here, Lord. I'm seeking your face, Lord. I'm coming to you, God. There's no other help I know. I'm looking to the hills for what's coming for my help. And after I done got over, God, you still right there. then there's closer social relationships where you start to reach out to your brothers and your sisters, knowing that you need to be an encourager and not a discourager. That you need to lift others up more highly than you do yourself. That you start to learn that, you know what? Can I say a word of encouragement? Instead of having curses and blessings coming out the same mouth, why don't I just go ahead and just start blessing folk? Why? Because God been blessing me. Freely given, freely received, freely given. And then the recognition of new possibilities for your life in spite of the conditions surrounding them. Some of us have discovered some new stuff. When you be in quarantine, you got time to think. Shut up, straight. When you're sitting in the house all day by yourself and can't go nowhere, you start to think about some stuff. Ooh, what can I do? There's some new stuff I can figure out how to do. Some of us done started new jobs. Some of us done started new opportunities. Some of us done seeked out other new things to do besides what we used to do. But these benefits don't occur automatically. When hard times hit, you have to nurture and cultivate your post-traumatic growth. I believe Paul in the book of Romans is showing us how to be happy in this season of COVID-19. Or for that matter, during any tough times in our life. Paul speaks to us concerning hard times. The saints in Rome were on an emotional roller coaster, traveling quickly into a dysfunctional state of mind because of the struggles that they were facing. You do know that they was crucifying Christians. You do know they was throwing Christians in the Colosseum and letting lions eat them up. You can go out here and shout Jesus and nobody will bother you. They was going through persecution. They didn't understand how could confessing a hope in Christ yet find themselves going through so many hard times. I know that many of us sometimes we wonder. Don't play like you don't wonder. You wonder too. How can I be a saint of God and I'm struggling with these hard times? I go to church, I pay my tithes and offering, and I'm still going through. God, what's up with that? You know you done said it, amen. You know you don't sit here like you ain't said it before when you going through and you asking God some questions. Job had to ask God some questions. Amen, it's all right to ask some questions, but you better be ready for an answer. Hard times can be defined as the difficulties or the hardships in life that has taken ownership of our physical conditions and existence. The people of God truly fall on hard times. It seems like when you're a child of God, you fall in harder than most people. You've seen people suffer the same thing you suffered, but yet you suffering just a little bit more. Amen. You seen people go down, but you go deep. Amen. Amen. You seen people get hurt, but you get blasted. Amen. Come on now. Come on. You seen people did the same sin you did. You know why? Go ahead and say it, Sister Yvette. Why? Because you're a child of God. Go ahead and preach. Amen. Because you are a child of God. Because there's a target on your back. Because the devil want to make you curse God and die. Amen. So yeah, he's going to take you deeper than you need to go. He's going to hold you longer than you need to be there. Cost you more than you want to pay. It's going to hurt. But guess what? God said, I'll never leave you. Falling on hard time causes us to forget who we are. But if God has taken up residence in our lives, we must think more of him than ourselves. When we welcome the invisible presence of God on the inside, he's made visible on the outside. I can tell if God is in your life. You ain't got to tell me if you love God. You ain't got to tell me if you're a Christian. Just let me do something to you, like slap you. Your response is going to tell me what's on the inside. You either gonna say, Pastor, really? But then there's some of us that's gonna get smacked, pat, and then hit me right back. Amen. They ain't gonna think about it. It's just a natural reaction because that's the way it is. They don't consult God. They ain't gonna think about it. They're just gonna respond, pat. You hit me, I'm gonna hit you. Ain't no turning the other cheek. I ain't got nothing. I ain't got nothing. You ain't gotta tell me if you're a Christian or not. Let me just watch you over the weekend. Let me see where you go. Amen. Because the Bible said it's obvious. Those that live in a wicked manner. You ain't got to say, I can just watch you. Amen. Just let me hold your kids for 24 hours. Because kids will tell it all. If you're a cusser in your house, your children going to be a cusser. Hello. 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 If y'all fussing and arguing all the time in the house, your kids going to fuss and argue all the time. It amazes me how kindergartners can get kicked out of school. Kindergarten, 4 or 5 years old. Why? Because they learning stuff at home. And then when they call the mama in, and then the teacher looking at the mama, they know exactly where the kid got it from. Because the mama coming in bobbing and weaving, getting all attitudinous, ain't even know what the situation is. But just because you called me in this building, amen. So we got to understand. We got to understand that if God is on the inside, it should show on the outside. So when we fall on hard times, we understand that it's only temporary. Because the spirit within us will begin to function as an external bridge to take us from the hard times to the good times. On the inside, it's going to tell me it's going to be all right. On the inside, God will make a way. On the inside, he'll turn midnights into day. On the inside, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's what's going on the inside. So people looking at you, you still got a smile on your face. How you doing? Blessed and highly favored. Wait a minute, ain't you going through some stuff? Ain't you broke? And then you asked me for $50 last week? Blessed and highly favored. You gave it to me, didn't you? When God's spirit touches our spirit, it identifies who we really are. You see, outside of the spirit, we just flesh and become subject to fleshly circumstances. But when we allow the spirit within to rise up and push down the fleshly man, we become more than conquerors. When the spirit shows up, it reminds us of who we really are. I'm a child of God. I'm a prince. I'm a priest. Hallelujah. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the front, not the back. I am highly favored and blessed by God. God allows us to understand that we can go on our journey, and we may be in the world, but we're not of the world. We're traveling through a foreign land. I don't know where I'm going by myself, but when he's with me, he shows me the way. And those who travel without Christ come face to face with hard times and deal with it with themselves. Paul seems to suggest in our text today that we are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. It's time that we do a reality check. It's time that we come face to face with ourselves and recognize the truth about self. Look at somebody and say, know yourself. The truth is that self is weak. Huh? Self is psychologically weak. Self is physically weak. Self is emotionally weak. Self is guilty of exposing self and causing self to be subject to the present living conditions surrounding oneself. I should have put that on the screen so we can follow that. But I'm going to say it again. This time it's for me. I'm going to say it real slow like I'm 2 years old. Self is guilty of exposing self and causing self to be subject to the present living conditions surrounding one's self. Just because hell is breaking loose in your life don't mean you got to stay in hell. Can I help somebody? Oftentimes we discover that self is in denial. Self is often caught pretending. Self tends to make a fool of self, and it's bad when self make a fool out of self. Huh? It's obvious, because to think that the Lord is on our side and we give in to certain current conditions says that we have resisted the guidance and have become foolish enough to try to make it on our own. Huh? We're trying to fix our own marriages. That's foolish. We're trying to change a grown man. That's foolish. We're trying to change a grown woman. That's foolish. We're making decisions without God. That's foolish. In all your ways. I got some Bible readers in the church. Acknowledge your ways, and he will. What? Y'all know the word. Amen. We can't handle the hard times with our fleshly limitations. As a matter of fact, it is purpose by design that we face some hard times. How can we ever expect to grow? How we expect the flowers to grow if there's no rain? All of us at some point in life will fall on some hard times. Back in the early 80s, there was a rap group called Run DMC. I told you back then I wasn't really paying attention. Amen. But as you get older, you start listening and you start paying attention. Amen. And they did a song called Hard Times. You know, amen. I didn't only listen to them, Sister Yvette, I looked at them and studied them. Here's what they said in just one verse. They said it like this: hard times. And listen, listen. This is when rap groups was pure. This is when they wasn't cussing, calling people out of their names, calling women out. No, this is when it was pure. This is when they was just talking about their life. Amen. And made you think about your life. And then they talked about hard times. Listen to what he said. Hard time spreading just like the flu. Watch out, homeboy. When the last time you heard the word homeboy? Amen. Amen. Watch out, homeboy. Don't let it catch you. Prices go up. Don't let your pockets go down. When you get short money, you're stuck on the ground. Turn around, get ready, keep your eye on the prize. And be on point for the future shock of hard times. And they go on and talk about some other things in that rhyme. Amen. Everybody gonna go home and Google Run DMC. Amen. Hard times. Go look up the rest of it. Amen. But Paul said it like this: I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Can we live and suffer a little for a little while as we wait for the glory of God to happen in our lives? Do we really trust God that everything will eventually go perfectly for us as Christians? How? How are we doing today with this pandemic and everything else that's going on around us? Do we get caught up in the hype, getting distracted by the noise of the world? Or do we simply go to God with all of our hearts and concerns? Have we learned to cast all our cares on him because he cares for us? Look again at Romans 18. This is the main point of the message today, this morning. In spite of suffering, we are to live in the hope of glory that is to come. Not just when Jesus returned, but even right now. Do we believe that God can still work a miracle in times of trouble? Now, I needed to ask Paul to help me understand why he wasn't sure. He said he reckoned, or he thought, or he supposed, or even imagined that the sufferings, plural, of today were not worthy to be compared. I discovered that Paul was taking a look ahead in faith. Have anybody looked past the pandemic? Has anybody looked past as Christ looked past the cross, the Bible said he looked past the cross and saw the glory that was to come. Has anybody looked past what you're going through right now? Have anybody take a glimpse on the other side of your through? Have anybody take a glimpse and say, you know what? I see better days ahead. Something is coming down the pipe. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Has anybody looked past what you're going through right now? You got to look ahead by faith. Paul understood that this present condition was only temporary. He said it to the church in Corinth in his second letter, chapter 4, verse 17, 18. Look what he said. For our light afflictions, our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. This too will pass. It's going to go away. Have you thought about what you're going to do on the other side? But the things which are not seen are eternal. Help me, Paul. Help me, Paul. I need you to help me. Paul is saying that these present hard times are lightweight afflictions compared to the good time God has prepared for us. Amen. These hard times we face are only temporary. Here today, gone tomorrow. But the good times we don't see yet are coming, and mainly they are eternal. Once we get past the hard times, the good times will last forever. Can I get a witness? So I must admonish you. I must exhort you. I must beseech you. I must require of you. I must command you. I must suggest to you. I must urge you. I must caution you. I must demand of you. I must order you. I must insist of you. I must stipulate a matter of great importance to you. Simply put, church, we need to understand the threefold operation of our inner being. First of all, we must get to the point that we begin to expect more out of ourselves. Can I get a witness? You got to expect more out of you. Quit talking about what other people are doing. What you doing? What you doing? What you doing? You're looking at everybody else getting depressed. But what are you doing? We got to expect more. First, we must ignite a vision. Amen. When we have a vision, we visualize it. When we visualize it, we see it. We must visualize the good times. We must visualize being set free. We must visualize changing our lives. Why you do that? Proverbs 29:18 from the Christian Standard Bible. Without revelation. Amen. Without revelation or vision, people run wild. But one who follows divine instructions will be what? Thank you, brother. Little Zion can read. Amen. Happy. Amen. Proverbs 29:18 out of the New Living Translation. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is... Thank you. Amen. Proverbs 29:18 from the Message Bible. Y'all know that this is my favorite part right here from the Message Bible. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. It is then important for us to understand that in order to overcome our past and move forward from hard times, we must have a vision of our future. The anointing of God's Spirit brings with it a vision of how to proceed into our God-given destiny. It reveals a new hope of what our life can be. In the Hebrew word for vision, is not the ordinary word for something that is seen. Rather, it indicates a revelation from God. Amen. In other words, a revelation from God don't necessarily materialize. that you see it right away. But in your spirit, anybody ever had one of them? In my spirit. Anybody ever had that? Don't play with me now. Don't let me be the only one that think my spirit's working. Amen. Amen. God showed you something in your spirit. And it was so real. Amen. It was real. It was real. So real that you start doing something about it. You start heading in that direction. And as you got closer and closer, you see God start opening up doors. But guess what? Those doors ain't going to open. Nothing's going to happen until you start activating what God has placed in your spirit. Amen. 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 Secondly, we must have faith. Amen. We have to believe that what God has shown us is coming. We have to believe our breakthrough is just around the corner. We have to believe that God is still in the miracle working business. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Hebrews 11:1 says we got to live by faith. Now, faith is the reality or the substance of what is hoped for and the proof or the evidence of what is not seen. Yeah. No, I don't see it, but I got faith to believe it. Yeah. Huh? Huh? Who would ever believe I'd be standing right here today? Amen. But God knew it. He knew it a long time ago when I was in my mama's womb. Hello. Hello. Before we was ever born, God said, I know you. Amen. He knew who would be in 2020. Hello. He knew how you can be and how you can handle a pandemic like this. Hello. 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 Some of us better thank God we wasn't born back in the late 30s and 40s. Some of us better be glad we wasn't born in the late 1800s. Because some of y'all wouldn't be good with slavery. Hello. Hello. Amen. Yes, some of us know this is where we need to be. God groomed you all your life for times such as this. You was born when you was born so that for a time such as this, you can show the whole world how Christians respond to a pandemic. So you can stand firm in the faith and let them know, for God I live and for God I die. For a time such as this. And then finally, we have to face the reality that what we see and experience today will soon be in our past. Face the reality that trouble don't last and can't last always if Jesus is on our side. I submit to you today that God wants us to move. He wants us to move in his will regardless of our present circumstances. Paul is saying in the text that these present sufferings are nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. We can still have church. Aren't we having church today? Huh? We can still have ministry. We can still do things in our community. We can still lift up the name of Jesus. Didn't we pass out Bibles? Amen. Aren't we still having our trunk or treat? Aren't we still giving out things to the community? Aren't we still having our Thanksgiving? We're still having prayer. We're still having Wednesday night Bible study. We're just doing it a little differently. What Paul is saying? Paul is saying that good times, y'all better watch out now. I want my praises in the house now. Where you at? Where you at? Paul is saying that the good times will show up. God's goodness will be revealed in us. Do I have anybody in here that have had some good times in the presence of the Lord during your bad times? Do I have anybody's midnight been turned into daylight? Do I have anybody's sad times been turned into joyful times? Hold on, 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 hold on. Do I have anybody in here that have shouted for joy in the midst of your trouble and didn't wait until the good time came, but went ahead and shouted for joy because you know that all things work together for the good of them? But look, all I'm saying is that if the hard times can show up, surely God will make the good times show up. Just ask Moses at the Red Sea. Can I get a witness? Can I just ask Daniel in the lion's den? Just ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. God will show up. Just ask Job after he done lost everything that he had, but yet God gave him double for his trouble. Just ask the woman with the issue of blood. Just ask Jairus when his daughter was pronounced dead and Jesus said, don't worry about it. Can I get a witness in the house? Just ask blind Bartimaeus. Just ask me after I wrecked my car and flipped it up and down the expressway. Can I get a witness in here that God has made some good times show up in your life during your bad times? I guess that's why one songwriter said there's a brighter day ahead. Huh? Trouble, heartache, and pain will soon be over. There will be no more weeping. It will soon be over. Yes, we're going to have some good days. We're going to have some bad days. But the good days will always outweigh the bad. Psalms 30 and 5. For his anger endureth just but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping. Y'all know the rest. May endure for a night, but what comes in the morning? So keep holding on, keep going strong, keep moving on, keep pressing on, keep traveling on, keep running on. My brothers and sisters, look to the hills when we come to your help. All our help comes from the Lord. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abiding in the work of the Lord. Let your labor not be in vain. During this COVID-19 season, I said season, because seasons change. Can I get a witness? Some of us might be going through some hard times, some bad times, but wait, as the scriptures say, on the Lord. Wait until your change comes. Wait. You got to learn how to wait. Good times come to those who wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall what? Where my Bible readers at? Where my Bible readers at? Shall renew their. That means that when hard times causes you to get weak, just wait on your renewed strength. Then you will mount up on wings like eagles. That means you're going to rise above your heart and fly like eagles in the sky. You'll find peace during your hard time. You'll find comfort during your hard time. You can run and not be weary. You can walk and not faint. In other words, we can survive the hard time. Just keep striving for the good times. Keep toiling for the good times. Keep praying for the good times. Keep watching for the good times. Keep waiting on the good times. Your storm is almost gone. I can see the sun peeping through the cloud. Behind every cloud, the sun is still shining. Can I get a witness? Even when there's darkness on this side of the world, the sun is still. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. The sun is still shining. Paul tells us that God is going to do even more to help us. Romans 8, 28 through 30. He said, we know all things. What? Work together. For the good of who? Those who what? Anybody in here love God? Anybody in here love God? Look at somebody and tell them, my good is coming. Yeah. Ain't that what the word just said? God is not a man that he will lie. He said to work together for the good of those who love the Lord. So if I love the Lord, then my good is coming. Who are called according to his purpose. Anybody feel you've been called by God? Amen. According to his purpose. Amen. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. But look at somebody and tell them it was by the blood. You didn't do it on your own. You didn't get justified by yourself. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we as believers need not faint nor falter in times of suffering and trial, because we know that God is at work, that God has perfected a plan for us, that God has two purposes in his plan. The two purposes that things always work out for our good and his glory. You get the good. He shut up, Strayhorn. You get the good. God gets the glory. So when good show up in your life, all you need to do is say, to God be the glory. So when you get that car, to God be the glory. When you get that house, to God be the glory. When you get that new job, to God be the glory. Why? Because it worked out for your good. So to God, give him the glory. Now, hold on, Strayhorn. We will not always understand how things we experience work out for good. And we certainly will not always enjoy as we go through getting to the good. But we can know that God can and is using whatever the bad is for his beneficiary and his purposes. Verse 29 and 30 gives us the assurance that God has a plan for his people to be conformed into the image of his son. Look, Paul wants us to come away this morning from the text, not with theological questions, but with a renewed assurance that the God who began a good work in us will indeed bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. Look at somebody and tell him, he's still working on me. No. See, y'all don't feel me. See, because you got to understand who you is. Amen. We ain't nothing. But God is still working on me. I still got some ways. Don't let me stand up here by myself. Don't let me stand up here by myself. Some of y'all know y'all still got a little cussing in you. Amen. 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 Some of y'all still know you still got a little fight in you. Amen. Some of y'all still know you still know you got a little sipping and drinking in you. Amen. 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 But yet God is still. What? God is what? We used to sing a song, work on me. Work on my mind so I can think right. Work on my heart so I can love it. Work on my eyes so I can see right. Work on me, Lord. Work on me. Work on me. Work on me. And then David put it like this. If you find anything that should not be, take it out. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me whiter than snow. In the final section of Romans chapter 8 is that our suffering and nothing else can ever separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. God still can make a way out of no way. He can make ways that we never even thought about. He can turn hard times into good times. Old folks used to sing a song, have you any rivers? I went back for that one, didn't I? That you think are uncrossable. And have you any mountains you cannot tunnel through? God specializes. See, that's the thing. When you can't do it no more, when you don't know how to do it no more, that's when God specializes in things that are impossible. And he can do what no other power can do. And then another songwriter said it like this, like a ship. I had to go back, didn't I? That's tossed and driven, battered by an angry sea. When the storms of life are raging and the fury falls on me, I wonder, what have I done that make this race so hard to run? Then I say to my soul, take courage. Why? The Lord will make a way. So, see, that's when songs meant something. That's what, and then he went on and said the chorus, the Lord will make a way somehow. When beneath the cross I bow, he will take away each sorrow. Let him have your burdens now. When the load bears down so heavy, the weight is shown up on my brow. There's a sweet relief in knowing that the Lord will make a way somehow. Come on, give the Lord a praise. The Lord will make a way somehow. Amen. We praise God for you. But then Paul Paul Jones, he said it like this. I won't complain. He said, I won't complain. I want y'all to watch this video. Amen. In case I tell you when to turn it off.